Let's start with some of the basics. What are they talking about yesterday?
Well, the hearing focused on the issue called official time. Now, this is where employees are taking part of their day, and it doesn't happen every day, it doesn't happen for many hours, to work on union-related issues. So these are only employees who actually belong to one of the unions in the government. So the intelligence community, the FBI, CIA, those employees do not belong to a union. So we're talking about federal, civilian, non-postal workers. The question posed at the hearing was whether federal employees should even be doing this union work during the workday when they're being paid by the government. Now, since 1978, when Congress passed the Civil Service Reform Act, this idea of official time has been allowed. OPM each year actually follows this, tracks how employees, much time employees are spending on official time. They've issued annual reports since 2002, and they continue to issue them, obviously, this year. They're still working on 2010. Congressman Dennis Ross, who's the subcommittee chairman, asks whether the country can continue to provide this kind of service because of the deficit. And Ross is not alone in asking that question. The first panel of the hearing yesterday, Congressman Phil Gingrey discussed his Federal Employee Accountability Act bill, which would basically do away with official time. Gingrey estimates that it would save taxpayers about $1.2 billion over 10 years. And Ross is also a co-sponsor of the legislation. Now, there's several people who came out to the hearing and said they're definitely against this idea of official time. James Shirk is one of those. He's a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. And he says there are three reasons why official time is a waste of taxpayer money.
The first problem with official time is that it subsidizes federal unions attending to private business. Unions exist to represent their members. Their core mission is to negotiate collective bargaining agreements and represent workers with grievances. Union members pay dues so that unions can provide these services. Without official time, unions would hire full-time employees to perform these union duties. Instead, the taxpayers pay for it. Official time requires taxpayers to cover the cost of union representation. Many federal employees actually spend all their time at work on union business. This cost taxpayers $129 million in 2009. A second problem with official time is that it encourages unions to file frivolous grievances. With official time, it's taxpayers, not the union, who pay for the cost of union representation and grievance proceedings. This subsidizes filing trivial complaints that unions would not spend their own money pursuing. The third problem with official time is that it subsidizes government unions' political agendas. Federal employees may lobby Congress while on official time if they are lobbying over federal working conditions. Union officials can and do lobby Congress for more generous benefits while being paid by taxpayers to perform public service.
Well, Jason, how much time do federal employees actually spend doing union work during their workday?
Well, it's interesting because OPM actually just released the 2009 report in the middle of May, and Tim Curry is OPM's Deputy Associate Director for Partnership and Labor Relations. He says in 2009, non-postal service civilian agency employees spent about 3 million hours performing union work on government time. This equates to about an average of 2.58 hours per employee per year. Curry says it cost the government about $129 million in salary and benefits last year, and OPM actually is working on the 2010 report, which should be done by September. Now, John Gage is the president of the American Federation of Government Employees, one of the largest federal employee unions, and he says this idea of official time, it's very regimented.
And these agencies just didn't fall off a turnip truck. They take strict accounting. All official time is approved. It's on an issue-by-issue basis. And those who are on official time, 100%, they're running big unions. For instance, the Bureau of Prisons, our council there, the council president is on 100% time. But he is working usually in management's lap almost every day. Same with our president of our VA council, which has 90,000 members in VA hospitals all over the country. She is on 100%, but works closely day by day with management. And it's just a more efficient way of doing things.
Now, Gage says if Congress should take away official time, the collective bargaining becomes basically moot.
Without a union steward on the job, that makes the local union go. That really turns the wheels. To have someone there that management can go right away. They can't be calling me and say, would you send out a business agent? We got to talk, you know, about something. And so having the union rep right there with the relationship with his manager is what good labor relations is about.
Now, Gage adds that many times official time is actually denied. It's not just, the employee comes to work one day and says, I'm going to work on union work all day. I mean, Gage made a big point of saying official time is negotiated between management and employees. It's an important ingredient to make labor relations work together, and not everything can be official time. I mean, they have a specific list of what issues they can work on, what things that they can address. This is not just, as he said, oh, well, let me just take 4 hours today and work on union things. So I think there's definitely some miscommunication going on, but obviously everyone's got their focus of what they're looking at.
And we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Why are some members of the committee questioning subcommittee chairman Dennis Ross's motivations?
Well, I think, as we mentioned, this is the fourth hearing since March looking at federal workforce issues. Last week, the subcommittee looked at the idea of right-sizing the federal workforce. It looked at employee pay earlier in the year and looked at worker compensation issues. This led subcommittee ranking member Stephen Lynch to question Wednesday's hearing.
Sometimes I think some legislation here is actually a solution in search of a problem, what I would call this H.R. 122. We are in a mess here in Washington. The debt limit, the budget, we got problems. We're in three wars. I talk to these managers all the time, federal managers. This issue never comes up. Never. And here we are, we're having a full-blown hearing, and this now apparently is the issue du jour. It's another way to get back at the unions or get back at workers to try to exercise their rights. These workers don't even have the right to strike. They have very few rights, these workers. They're allowed to complain, but they, by God, they better keep on working. And this is the way we treat them. I think it's disgraceful. I really do. I think we ought to treat our workers better, especially federal workers. If we want good people to want to come to work in the service of their government, we got to stop trashing them. We got to start thinking about how we might treat them with a little bit more dignity, what they've earned.
Now, obviously, this gets split between Democrats and Republicans. I think that's what you're seeing here is Republicans controlling the House. Democrats are now, they're always on the defensive trying to push back. And there is some, Congressman Lynch, is his point is that this seems to be retribution rather than real issues. Obviously, the Republican members, Congressman Ross, Congressman Gingery, obviously disagree. Both have said that official time has been mismanaged and abused since 1978. It's costing taxpayers millions of dollars, and the public receives no benefit from the employees while they're performing this official time work. So I think that there is this disagreement going on, and OPM has not kept up as well as issuing those reports in a timely manner. The 2009 report, which just came out last month, was more than a year late. The 2010 report's not going to come out until almost 2012 in the fiscal year. So Ross says he'll introduce a bill requiring OPM to submit official time reports by each March 31st of each year.
Well, it sounds like both sides are kind of blowing it out their ear a little bit. Well, what are the chances of these bills or provisions even making it into law, Jason?
Well, it's one of those tough to say things because obviously the Senate being controlled by the Democrats, many of these bills will never even get a hearing, a markup, never even get addressed. But AFGE's Gage is still worried. He says these types of bills could end up as amendments to bigger bills, and when the administration ends up having to compromise, for instance, on the debt ceiling or keeping the government open, that's how they can kind of get snuck in and become law. Gage obviously believes that there's an assault going on in federal workers, whether you talk about pay or health care or pensions. Now, the other side of the coin is that the Republicans and, Congressman Ross, Congressman Gingery believe that there are some serious issues and it all relates back to the deficit. And you can't just look at one thing. You have to look at everything, and this is part of looking at everything.